You know, there is a autobiographical statement I would like to make. I had read world history quite a good deal before I ever happened to read this book. And my studies of history, of ancient civilization, medieval times, modern times, I was thinking a lot after reading history, and I had asked the question, what is in history the most important theme? Historically, without any kind of bias or any prejudice. And if you read the historical pages of the world, at least I found the most recurrent theme is God in the history of mankind. Recurrent theme, wherever you go, Egyptian civilization starts with God. Greek civilization is full of God and gods. Persian civilization is full of God. Assyrian civilization, Indian civilization. And throughout, if you ask the greatest number of pages devoted in history, it is man's search for God. It's the most significant theme in the history of mankind. It's an incontrovertible statement. Whether you believe in God or not, it's a different matter. But the fact is that man's preoccupation with God is the fundamental theme of human history. You cannot avoid. You may say man is mad after God, but so he is. That is why he returns again and again. Even after saying, I don't want God, he quarrels with God, and yet he comes back to him, says, oh, I love you so much, I can't avoid you. That is the significant theme of human history. And Sri Aurobindo captures the whole thing. And therefore, when I read the very first sentence of The Life Divine, I said, here is the truth. Because I had come to the conclusion, this was stated in the very first statement. You can imagine how much this book immediately captured me as soon as I took. Nobody had told me that this book is one of I consider to be the greatest book. Nobody had even said it's a great book. It simply happened to come in my life, this book, suddenly at one time. And when I opened the book, the very first sentence captured me thoroughly because of this very first statement. That here is somebody who has seen, as it were, both telescopically and microscopically, the whole human history, and captured the whole fundamental theme in one sentence, very powerful sentence, and which you cannot question. Where there is a question, he puts the word seem, so you cannot controvert it. Where there is no question, he has put the word affirmative is. So it is complete, perfect statement. And now Sri Aurobindo explains what is that preoccupation. In two lines, he says, it manifests, that aspiration manifests itself in the divination of Godhead. Man has, as it were, divined, felt the secret presence of God. This is a kind of a magic of human history. Nowhere you see God, and yet man divines him. That is the magic of man, man's consciousness. So it manifests in the divination of Godhead, the impulse towards perfection, the search after pure truth, and unmixed bliss, the sense of secret immortality. You read the whole history of mankind, and these five words constantly occur everywhere. The search for truth, search for bliss, search for perfection, search for immortality, search for the most beloved God. This is a constant theme, as it were. Nobody, even if you, the greatest critic of God, cannot controvert this basic statement that historically this is true. Now Sri Aurobindo gives some kind of a proof, as it were, but a very clinching proof in the very first paragraph of all the statement that he has made so far. He says, the ancient dawns of human knowledge have left us their witnesses to this constant aspiration. If you want a proof of this aspiration, then take up the most ancient records scientifically, we should not merely go by mythologies, stories which are told, which are current, which we are told they were told. No. The greatest proof is to go to the records. What are the records? Are there the most ancient records available in the world? It is the Veda. It's a record available to us. And if you read the Veda, what do you find in it? It's nothing but a hymn of God and immortality and truth and bliss. It is Soma, the wine of immortality that you drink. And that is the aspiration in the Veda. So this is the truth of the ancient, the earliest preoccupation of the awakened human thought. And now Sri Aurobindo says, today, if you now come to the present day, what do you see? Today we see a humanity satiated but not satisfied by victorious analysis of the externalities of nature, preparing to return to its primeval longings. Today we are passing through a long period of scientific investigation, and science has been trying to examine the externalities of nature. This is the speciality of the modern science. It doesn't go into the occult truth of things, spiritual truth of things, but externalities of nature, and rigorously. It doesn't want to enter into any so-called nonsense of spiritual or religious. It simply wants to keep completely aloof from it, so that it simply wants to examine the externalities of nature. And these externalities of nature, when you examine, Sri Aurobindo says, we have reached the climax, as it were, now. And then if you ask humanity, are you now satisfied? You have now supersonic speed. You can converse, you can do magic of cinema, television. So many things you have conquered. Are you now happy, satisfied? So Sri Aurobindo uses the word, humanity satiated but not satisfied, which is a fact. If anybody wants to controvert, let him controvert, but it's a fact. Humanity satiated but not satisfied. And since it is not satisfied, what are the latest trends of humanity? Why could Vivekananda, a young man going from India to the West and speaks of Vedanta, or not even Vedanta, simply speaks, brothers and sisters of America, and there is an applause. What is the magic of this man? Why should it happen? It's an expression of an appetite, a hunger of brotherhood. And here is a man who expresses that brotherhood so simply, so innocently, so spontaneously, from the bottom of the heart, from the soul. It is as it were Godhead coming and speaking to mankind. And there is an immediate response. The mankind is preparing, this is only one small example, how mankind is preparing itself to return to the primeval longings. Once again, there is a tryst with God. And man is returning to embrace God. That is, his search for satisfaction has not been fulfilled. So Sri Aurobindo says, today we see a humanity satiated but not satisfied by victorious analysis of the externalities of nature, preparing to return to its primeval longings. And then the last word, the earliest formula of wisdom promises, it doesn't say is. There is a logical rigor. The earliest formula of wisdom promises to be its last. God, light, freedom, immortality. He summarizes the whole human history, the great aspiration of man, written at large throughout the pages of history. Everything that is in human history is recorded in these five lines. a complete summary, as it were, to start with. This is what I call the dong, dong of the orchestra, from where all the strings of the music begin to now vibrate. And if you read only Vaibhav Divine as a musical composition, you will see how one movement gives rise to another movement, one harmony giving rise to another harmony, and a symphony of harmonies simultaneously, and again falling into a hush, and again giving rise to numerous harmonies. If you read only this Life Divine, not from a logical or psychological or scientific or philosophical point of view, but merely as a notation of music, one can compose a new kind of music which will be breathtaking in the world. If one follows the rhythm of this book and produces the music, it will be most breathtaking. And therefore, if you read the Life Divine in that sense, you will get not only the greatest intellectual happiness and satisfaction, but also artistic exposition and its satisfaction, and the deepest musical stirrings of your being, so that we can play with the spheres of the universe simultaneously. This is the experience that we get from this great magnum opus of Sri Aurobindo. We shall stop here today, and I have still many things to say before I can start with the actual reading of the Life Divine, or even introducing the Life Divine. But if you like, I would simply say that when I come next, if you have read at least the first chapter, I'll be very happy. Thank you.
D'accord.